Next up, Whit Blanton and Brian Hunter discuss possible changes to Interstate 175 at a recent presentation for the Downtown Neighborhood Association. Whit Blanton is the Executive Director of Forward Pinellas, a public agency responsible for countywide planning, aligning land use, economic development, and transportation. It is the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which sets priorities for state and federal transportation funding. Brian is a transportation planning manager for the Florida Department of Transportation District 7, where he oversees metropolitan planning, transportation statistics, and travel demand modeling activities. First up, Whit Blanton.
For 175, the study identified some options that could be considered. And this is what the action plan is going to delve into a little bit more. And one of those would be possible look at a boulevard that would break down the barrier between the big material walls that exist between the interstate and the Campbell Park neighborhood to the south and other neighborhoods. Visual barrier and also an accessibility barrier. There's been, like, the years y'all probably heard that people in those neighborhoods just south of Gatlin feel left out of the economic growth and revitalization that's really happened in St. Petersburg over the last 20 years or more. There were a lot of promises made, and because the streets don't connect, it's just a workaround to get to those areas. So that's part of the motivation. The other thing is just the opportunity that presents itself with the Tampa Bay Rays and the city working out a deal potentially to redevelop that whole district. And now it just seems like a good opportunity to really kind of put that in sync with the transportation network and make that, see if that's possible. We also looked at possibility just shrinking the Interstate 175 footprint a little bit. If you don't need all those lanes out there, maybe you still need high-speed capacity to get to the hospital, get to the waterfront, because that's super important for the healthcare professionals and emergency responders, and they've communicated that to us. They've been very clear that regional accessibility is important for a level one policy. Nobody's disputing that. But maybe it doesn't need to be six or eight lanes, and maybe it's a smaller footprint. One of the things we did look at is with any of these modifications, does it free up space in a downtown that doesn't have a lot of open space, or new types of development, or open space, parks, could be affordable housing, could be things like that you could use. And we've identified that there could be anywhere from 10 to 20 acres that's freed up if you shrink that footprint. So that's the broad framework. Again, this was a planning study that laid out some concepts. And then we requested the Department of Transportation, we put it on the priority list, which is how we work. We identify projects, we put them high on the priority list. This is a planning study, next phase of the planning study. And the department stepped up and they identified some funding and they've committed to conducting this planning study. And so I will turn it over to Brian to talk a little bit about what that scope contains. And then we can talk a little bit about the timeline, what kind of analysis will go into it, how the public would be involved, and open it up to questions.
So Whit got the fun stuff. I get to talk about contracts and scopes and all that kind of stuff. So the scope is about a 26-page document. I boiled it down to a couple pages worth of notes, so I'm going to reference them just to make sure I don't miss any of the important stuff. But the main goal of this study is really to go out and talk to our stakeholders. What do they see? What do they see on 175? What are some of the concerns, issues that they have? What are the things they appreciate about the corridor? And so that's going to be the main focus in the beginning, is we're going to get that stakeholder feedback. So the stakeholders are going to be you all. If you live in downtown, you live near the corridor, you're going to be a stakeholder. If you're an employee in downtown, you're a stakeholder. You use that road to get to work. If you're an employer in downtown, you know, we want to make sure that we're accommodating everybody's mobility needs. And so we also have the hospitals, we have the venues that those roads support. So we're going to do a lot of public outreach. We can probably confirm this, but this is probably the biggest public outreach in one scope that I've seen in the 20 years I've been doing transportation planning. And so We're going to get that feedback. What are some of the things you like? Maybe some of the things you don't like. What is your vision for that area? And then we're going to create a travel demand model that's going to model basically, you know, a 2-mile radius around the corridor and all the major roads, and look at if we made some of these modifications, what does that do to the rest of the network? How does it impact your travel time? If you're living in, you know, the Bayway area and you travel into downtown, how much time does that add to your commute? If you live in downtown and you're going to the Bayway area, how much time does that add to that trip for you? And then also, how does the traffic disperse? So we know that if you restrict the flow on 175, not everybody's going to go to 375. So they're probably going to get on a local street. So are we putting these people on the street you live on? That's an unintended consequence that we want to make sure that everybody is aware of if we make any of these improvements. And so once we do that analysis, we're going to come back to the community and all the stakeholders that we met with before, and we're going to say, these are the improvements, these are the, you know, things that are technically feasible. Are they feasible to you? Are these things that you are willing to, whether it's a positive or a negative impact, is this something that you want us to look at pushing through? Once we do that, we'll work with the city and the county to prioritize those projects. Got that first page pretty good. And as part of that, come back out and reach out to you all. A lot of things that we talk about, like if I was to talk about a viaduct, most of the people in this room probably have no idea what I mean by a viaduct. It's where we take what now is on a walled structure, and we would elevate it so that you could look through it. So if you've ever been on Gandy Boulevard, that the elevated structure is a viaduct. So that if you're on the north side, you
Gandy Boulevard in Tampa.
Gandy Boulevard in Tampa. So the extension of the Crosstown Expressway is a viaduct. So if you're on the north side, you can see the south side. And what we've heard from the business community there is they were really opposed to that project for a very long time. I don't know if you all heard about that, but when it first was proposed, it was going to be about a 15-foot elevated structure. They were very opposed to that. They didn't want to see traffic taken off the road. Those are their customers. Now it's gone through, they're all very appreciative. The one gentleman who was the most vocal is now also the one who champions that project the most. So that's awesome. But we're going to produce visuals of these improvements. So if we do propose a viaduct, we will have a, if you're standing in Campbell Park looking at the trough, this is what it'll look like so that you can actually see what we're talking about and what is a potential improvement down there. And then I guess the final aspect of this will be that list of recommended actions. It's an action plan. So we'll be, once we've gotten that feedback from the community and all the stakeholders, we'll have an action plan, a list of things that can be done, and then have a kind of a realistic conversation with everybody on what that schedule looks like. You know, this, our study is going to kick off probably in the October timeframe. I'm shooting for 12 months. That's really ambitious, but I think we can get it done. And at the most, we'd be looking at like 18 months to have that action plan completed. But then if we do suggest any major modifications to the corridor, we then need to go through Federal Highway with a systems interchange modification report. That's about a 2-year process. And then design is a 2-year process. If there's right-of-way needs that we need to get for, you know, for modifying a drainage basin, something like that. And so that's another 2-year process, and then construction starts after that. So I want to make sure that everybody understands this is not going to be a we're turning dirt in the next 3 years process. It'll be much farther out. And right now, we have, like what was talking about, we have the 5-year work program, and we program in that new 5th year. So this year, when we start programming projects, we'll be looking at the 2030 timeframe to do work. And so we're probably looking at a good, if it's a big project, probably a good 15 years before we see turning dirt. But if it's smaller things that we can go in and immediately make an impact, you know, maybe we drop a lane down near 4th Street or something like that, or we put some sort of chicane in so that vehicles slow down. That's the kind of thing we can go out there a lot quicker and do, but that'll all come from the traffic analysis and how that impacts the roadway network. So I think that's about all I had on my end. Anything, Ben?
I'll just add, I think you'll see the 8th and 9th and 3rd and 4th Street conversions before big changes to I-175 for sure, just based on that timeline. And I mentioned earlier that those changes are pretty integral, because if you don't have the two-way traffic on 3rd and 4th and 8th and 9th, at least when we did the downtown mobility study, and his traffic analysis will either confirm or refute that, it didn't work. It didn't work without the one-way pairs converted. So there's like a bunch of things that have to kind of work for this to be right. We are agnostic on whether the boulevard or the viaduct is the ultimate recommendation, or if we leave it as is, because that's the community will. Our job is to kind of assess from a technical standpoint and from a community standpoint, where do things work together? Where can we find consensus and where can we reach agreement? And we here in Pinellas County, we here in the city of St. Petersburg, here in District 7 can all say this is great, but then we might run into a big roadblock in Tallahassee or in Washington, because the interstate system is this really high-level system that people are very protective about, and rightfully so, because this is emergency evacuation, it's healthcare response, it's a higher order of a traffic facility. I've been dealing with US 19 in Pinellas County for a long time. That's nothing compared to the interstate. So just hang in there. This is a generational effort, is really what we're trying to say. But, you know, one of the things I think of as a transportation planner is a little bit like a medical practitioner. First, do no harm. If we're changing the transportation network, you know, there might be some travel time delay that's as a result of this, but then we got to make sure we're balancing it with all these other positive things that we're creating. So it really does come down to what are the trade-offs when we look at transportation, so that the end result is a net positive, a net better for most users. And that's really where the art comes in, because that's maybe more than just the numbers sometimes. So hopefully we gave you a good update. We do expect to get started this fall on the action plan. So by September, October timeframe, you'll start to see a little bit more about this. And I just want to clarify that my agency is not the Pinellas County government. We are a kind of an independent organization. I have my own governing board. I don't report to the county commissioners. And the city of St. Petersburg has 3 seats on my board, potentially soon to be 4. So the city is very heavily invested in the work that Ford Pinellas does. And we're going to be super transparent with that process.
You've been listening to Whit Blanton from Forward Pinellas and Brian Hunter from the Florida Department of Transportation. Whit and Brian presented recently at the St. Petersburg Downtown Neighborhood Association regarding possible changes to Interstate 175, which is the section of the highway that exits at the south side of St. Petersburg onto Fifth Avenue South near the University of South Florida. This is Karen Carmichael.